Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello everybody and welcome to Homo Sapiens. I'm recording this very fast because we're in a rush today because Alan's a busy boy. What do we do on Homo Sapiens Extra, Alan?
We chat, I ramble on, I try not to eat, and we talk about your letters and your reviews, and we give a t-shirt away.
Me, 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 me. Hello, Alan. How are you?
Hi, Chris. I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm really well, thank you. How's your week been?
Oh, packed with incident.
Go on.
I mean, it's sort of funny when you say packed with incident because I've seen no one, but a lot of things have happened. Just lots of things have, you know, things are starting to stir. I've been writing a lot. I have been enjoying, the weather's been like really, really hot and then really thunderstorms. So it's been like, you know,
love a storm.
Umbrellas flying across the meadow and then jumping in the pool and la, la, la. And I just I've been busy working. I did this. I did a recorded reading for a few days of Uncle Vanya, a new version of Uncle Vanya by Neil LaBute. And so that was weird, acting with people on Zoom.
Oh, who else was in it?
Oh gosh, really amazing people. Ellen Burstyn.
Wow.
Was the my mum, and I was Uncle Vanya. Samira Wiley from Orange is the New Black, and Constance Wu, you know, from the Crazy Rich Asians, and a whole load of people, Anson Mount. It was really a great
What's
cast.
Uncle Vanya about?
Oh, you know, it's always the same thing in Chekhov. They're all in an estate. There's people who come back from the city, the people, and they're all kind of entitled. The people in the estate are, you know, bored and horny and desperate. They all get drunk. And then the people from the city go back and it goes back to normal.
Sounds like lockdown to me.
It's like lockdown. It really is like lockdown. And also, you know, I did a Chekhov play in the theatre a few years ago with Diane Wiest. Do you know her?
No, I don't.
Oh, God, of course you do. You know, she won an Oscar, won several Oscars, but she won one for that Bullets Over Broadway. Don't speak, don't speak. You know that?
Okay. Yeah, I know the name Bullets Over Broadway, but I'm always...
Oh, my God. There's Diane, D-I-A-N-N-E, and then W-I-E-S-T. I mean, she's been in everything. She's an amazing actor. And anyway, she
played... Oh, fuck. Yeah. Oh, my God.
There we are.
I love her.
Isn't she great?
I'm always the lowbrow. I'm like, oh, her from Parenthood.
Oh, right. There you are. But anyway, she was, what's her name? The actress who comes back. And I was, what's his name? The writer.
Yeah.
Because there's always an arty person comes back from the thing, from the city. And it's all, you know, the joke about Chekhov is that people always say, Moscow, Moscow, because they're always thinking they must get to the big city. And goes, Moscow, Moscow, I must go to Moscow. Thank you. And anyway, so she, we did it with this Russian director called Slava from the Moscow Arts Theatre or something. In New York, and it was so fascinating because you know how when people adapt these plays like Chekhov and Ibsen and all that, it used to be they had a monopoly. Only their versions could, you know, only these English translators' versions could be used. So therefore, whole generations have been influenced on the whole kind of sensibility of a writer like Chekhov because of this translator. And so then we had this Russian guy, and all the translators were going, he says, that's not what the play means here. You've got the wrong, why are you doing that? It's not what it says in the original text. So it was really fascinating to get a new understanding of Chekhov. And what I realized is from doing that and being with all these people is that all Russians are drama queens.
Really?
So everyone in a Chekhov play, you could understand why, if you just think they're all fucking drama queens and they're just all acting out and they're all just like, me, it's terrible. Oh, I'm unhappy. I'm in mourning for my life. Everyone's like that, even like the servants and everything. That's why it's funny, because you know there's a thing that Chekhov always says, a comedy in five acts, and everyone's like, where's the laughs? If you all think of them as drama queens, I think it could be funny. There's my advice on Chekhov. You didn't think he'd be getting that this morning, did you?
I didn't, but that's what I love is the breadth of Homo sapiens.
Oh, Brecht, I could talk about him too.
Do you know what I've been doing this week from highbrow to lowbrow? It's not lowbrow actually, but I've been watching loads of old movies. So I watched Indecent Proposal this week.
Oh, is that the one with Robert Redford and he pays $1 million to shag Demi Moore?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that like now?
I mean, riddled with problems. around consent. You know, but I mean, just so splashy and trashy and, you know, and... what else was the other one?
And does she fall in love with him? Isn't that the thing? He buys her for $1 million, but she falls in love with him.
He asks for $1 million for one night with her, and then the couple think they're so strong that they can take it, but actually it breaks them, it smashes them apart, and she falls in love with Robert Redford, but does she really? Question mark. I don't know. That bit of the film felt a bit odd.
It's Woody Harrelson, isn't it? Who's her husband?
Woody Harrelson, who is so
good.
Love
that man. He's such a great actor. He's just a really amazing, wonderful person. I love Woody. He came to see me in Endgame, actually. That was the last time I saw him.
Did he?
Yeah, he's just such a doll.
Yeah, and then I watched Death Becomes Her as well.
Oh, yes, that's with Meryl, and that's the funny one.
Yeah.
Based on Life and Loves of a She-Devil.
Yes, I think it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. But just, again, you know, like all this stuff that's in the news at the moment about things being pulled up from the past and being... reevaluated, you know, there's a whole thing with Goldie Hawn in a psychiatric ward and she's crazy and everyone's cross because she's fat, and it's just the world has changed so much. So it's and you don't remember any of this stuff as well. Like, you don't remember those bits of the films, and you think about, I don't know, it's funny, like I think about bringing it back to this podcast if one has to, but like I sit and think about how that little gay kid sat watching Friends once a week, and every week there was a gay joke in it, you know, and no one commented. To just think what that does to people is very insidious.
Are you the little gay kid?
Yeah.
And what did you...
Can't you see? I've had my facial.
You do look very fresh-faced.
I really don't. Look at me. But go on.
Your hair's getting like that sort of... sort of frothy way.
Yeah, lockdown...
Oh, just I've taken to wearing a headband.
I like your headband. Is that Club Cumming headband?
It's not actually. It's not a bandana. It's one that's got a hole in it, like a snood. Wear it around your neck, and it's good to keep my hair. It's just I'm going to have to wear it for the next 6 months.
Oh, breaking news as well. My Birkenstocks arrived.
Great.
Yeah, love them.
How are they?
Well, husband dead
does
against
William,
them.
Your husband not like them?
He was dead against them. They haven't left his feet. I'm going to have to buy another pair because he stole them.
So that's like my story with Helen Mirren and the Crocs. So I managed to get her to come around to the love of Crocs. Yeah.
I'm showing Alan.
Oh, they're very nice. I'm looking at them now.
Aren't they lovely? Nice olive green.
Talking of olive green and things green, I still haven't got my knitted tea cozy and bum bag from Uta. Hasn't come yet, Christopher.
Yes, so I'll intervene.
I'm anxious.
There. Well, I think
is it the postal only, service from
the
Brian
UK
Norton?
Postal Service, because I put them in the post, beautifully packaged. and yeah, I just think we're just going to have to wait. But it's not Uta's fault, is what I'm trying to say. It's not.
No, I know it's not Uta's fault. I was blaming you.
Oh right, fine. Yes, please. I will take the hit for. I'll do anything for Uta. I'll die on that hill for Uta. And what else has been going on? Oh, big news in our house. I've had a blocked drain, so I've been unblocking the shower. Have you ever used this stuff called One Shot?
No, maybe in a recreational way, but no, I don't think I put it down.
You'd know about it if you had. This is I don't think you can buy it anymore. And it's like pure, aggressive, boiling bleach type stuff that you pour so down the drain.
Very
that goes,
environmentally friendly. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and so I've been unblocking a drain, and that has been, it's so fun. It's like having a home science experiment.
You know, we had a it wasn't block drains, but the something to do with the sinks were funny, and I looked it all up. Like, there were kind of, it was a funny grassy smell, and it wasn't going away very well. And I looked it up, and so I put down vinegar and bicarbonate of soda.
Oh, that's
and it worked.
Really?
It worked a couple
much
of times, and it worked.
Planet.
Yeah, and I also got this green. I got these green pellets that I looked up for, because we have a septic system here. You see, you've got to be very careful.
Oh shit! So do we?
Oh, do you? Oh god! Oh,
am well. I going to look out into the garden? It's just going to.
It'll probably explode. Poop will be drenched over the entire village folk.
Oh, doing my hydrangeas good though, wouldn't it?
Oh, that, talking of which, we've had a drama with our compost maker.
Go on.
So we brought it up from the city. It's a little thing, and you put all your little food scraps in it, and like in and it dries them, sort of dehydrates them, and then chops them up. So it's got this really great nutrient full stuff, and you can put it on your pots, you know, plants and things like that outside. So I was doing that here because we've got pots and our tomatoes are coming on rather well. And then all of a sudden, the first thing was that Lala, one of our dogs, was trying to eat it because it was a lumpy bit, because I'd made this, you know, Kylie's key lime pie that I made. It was a huge hit. There's some of that left over. Yes, Kylie had sent me this recipe for
Kylie Minogue.
Key lime. Yes, there's only one Kylie. You don't have to say Minogue.
Kylie Jenner.
No, I don't count. She doesn't count.
Well, they had a lawsuit over that.
She tried to
Kylie Minogue sued Kylie Jenner.
Why?
Because Kylie Jenner was trying to copyright Kylie, one word.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
I don't want to even give her airspace. Anyway, lovely Kylie, the Kylie, sent me ages ago this recipe for, it's key lime pie, but it's made out of avocados and it's raw, well, except you heat the chocolate. Anyway, I made it for 4th of July. It was a huge hit, but there's a little bit left, and I put it in the thing, and it was kind of lumpy, you know, it was all sort of like molasses and coconut, so it's kind of didn't. Anyway, I think that's what made Lala go into the pot and try and eat it. And her tummy was a little funny. And then we had all these huge rainstorms, so all the stuff on all the pots that was dehydrated, rehydrated. Oh. So we had these bits of old carrot and onion everywhere. And then this little chipmunk has been coming up onto our deck and eating the stuff out of the pots. And so now I'm banned from putting compost onto the things.
Oh.
I'm secretly going to do it on our tomato plants, though, because you can't see that underneath. But Grant's really worried about the chipmunk and the dogs might eat it. But it's just like, just my luck.
Yes. Have you alerted Kylie to this plot twist?
No. I wrote her and told her how much we'd enjoyed the cake, though, because it was just, it's like coconut and almond flour, and it's supposed to be molasses, but I put prunes in and stuff, and maple syrup and coconut oil and everything like that. And then chocolate, and then this avocado is all mushed up with some stuff and coconut oil stuff, and it tastes like key lime pie, but it's absolutely delicious.
I want this recipe.
I'll send it to you.
Did you know my mum used to make stuff? I'm aware we need to read some emails, so I'll do that in a sec. But my mum used to make so much food from Australian Women's Weekly, the magazine. Like, it's such good food recipes.
Was your mum Australian?
No.
Is your mum Australian?
No, she's from Kidbrook in South London.
So she just picked up an Australian My Weekly?
Just loads of, like, her generation would all get hold of Australian Women's Weekly because it had amazing recipes in.
Absolutely
fascinating. Should we go and have a look at the emails, Alan?
Let's look at the emails.
Well, there's been quite a few people weighing in on Foodgate, wishing just to give their take, which ranges from people who care about the eating can go fuck themselves, I think was one person's wording.
That's nice.
We never endorse hate speech here on Homo Sapiens. We've got an email from Rodolfo in Texas. So I'll read that. Howdy from Texas. Thanks for sharing your charm, your wit, and stories of so many wonderful, interesting people. He's talking about us. I've enjoyed learning about queer folk whose lives are so different from mine, yet so familiar. Hearing from your various guests helps remind me that LGBT+ people are everywhere. We certainly are. And that the movement for gay rights is a global project.
What's this man's name?
Rodolfo.
Bravo, Rodolfo.
I recently discovered your podcast by accident because became somewhat obsessed with it and have just now finished listening to all your episodes going back to the beginning of the show.
Gosh.
If you'll permit me.
Someone needs to get out more.
Hang on, he's a fan, Alan.
Sorry.
You can't lose a perfectly good listener. If you'll permit me to be the 100th person to weigh in on the subject of eating during the programme, since the beginning, your podcast has included dog barks, doorbells, car horns, delivery people, waiters, and even Alexa. The odd nibble or glass clink fits right in with the show's unstuffy, informal atmosphere. It's a feature, not a bug. Besides,
I see.
You gents enunciate with your mouths full better than a lot of people with unimpeded lips. Much.
Oh my God, there's a joke there, but I daren't say it.
Be well and stay safe, Rodolfo. Well, thanks, Rodolfo.
Well, I feel very vindicated. I'm going to do this.
What is that? Is that you dinging your glass?
It's my breakfast that I ate before this call. But Rodolfo, that's about me. I mean, I'm sensing. Well, let's see what the rest of the letters say, but I'm sensing there might be a poll might have to be taken.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought that might be the case. Mm-hmm. I said Alan will be back eating in a flash. Sadiq Khan episode has touched many people. So many nice comments about it and messages and all the rest of it. We had an email.
It was really great. So I really loved it. Bravo, Chris.
Oh, thanks. Inna has written to us saying, "Dear Chris and Alan, thank you for another great episode of a wonderful podcast. Sadiq was brilliant. I'm from Denmark, but I used to live in London, and it's where I finally realised and came to terms with the fact that I'm queer. I went to London Pride in 2013 with two friends. None identified as queer, and now two of us do. Oh. I saw a beautiful woman in the crowd."
See, it's catching.
"I saw a beautiful woman in the crowd twice, but she disappeared. I was gutted. Then my friends and I went to dance and met a group of women. Then the woman appeared. We were dancing with her friends. She pulled me into a dance, spun me around and kissed me. And right then I knew for sure that I'm bisexual. I was going back to Denmark soon after and she to France. But that London Pride changed my life." Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh, if only they'd got married, that would have been the best end of that story. Other than the one that it is. Maybe she lives in Denmark and they're now on some sort of, cliff together.
We've been together 40 years now.
That's lovely.
"Thank you for the podcast and the joy it brings, especially in these scary times. Much love, Inna."
Yeah, thanks, Inna.
Thanks, Inna. And then we've got another one from Cheska. I'm going to say, Cheska. "I loved the interview with Sadiq Khan. If only all our elected leaders were so enlightened and capable."
Yes. Right.
Right. "Hearing him speak about knowing what it's like to be part of a minority group reminded me of my parents. My parents were Jewish and instilled in me a sense of responsibility to stand up for anyone who is marginalized because Jews have historically suffered so much persecution and we know what that's like. I was appalled to discover that my mother's parents and siblings were racist. That didn't and still doesn't make any sense to me. Don't even get me started on the racism now being manifested by the Israeli government. Loving the podcast generally. Hannah Gadsby's line, 'autistic or arsehole,' has become my new mantra." Warm wishes to all you and all your listeners.
That was a very nice letter.
Really nice. And then someone has been in touch whose name I can't see. Yes, I can. "Dom, from your latest episode, I think Alan was talking about lingonberry juice. So much love for the podcast."
Oh, that's right. The stuff in Sweden when I was at the Ice Hotel. Was that what I was talking about? Was I talking about that? I can't remember.
Half British, lingonberry. Half Swedish person. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's delicious.
"We have signed an open letter to the government to try and ban gay conversion.
Ban gay conversion. Yes, very good.
Conversion therapy camps because...
It's just awful. I can't believe we're doing this. And this is in Britain in 2020. What the actual fuck? Also, they don't work. I mean, it's on a purely sort of business level. It's a con, people.
Just from a money perspective.
Yeah.
"If you go to @banconversiontherapy on Instagram, please go there, follow it, share it. Shout about it. Because,
it's ridiculous.
It's utterly ridiculous.
I have a friend who's a writer who actually went undercover. Into a conversion and conversion therapy and wrote a thing about it.
Whoa.
And he said it was so ridiculous because it was things like I've known a couple of other people whose parents sent them to them as well, actually, in America.
Really?
And he said, yeah. And I mean, they used to be much more sort of, until there's been obviously lots of exposures about them and people are more get what they're just sort of cons, and they're a bit obviously very religious based, and they're just sort of, this country sort of, there's a confluence of money and religion and sort of homophobia that's profits some people and screws up many others. But anyway, he said that it was things like, you know, it would be things like you don't wear Calvin Klein underpants. Like that would things that literally say things like that. Don't wear Calvin Kleins. That literally obviously makes you into a homo. And then like the lesbians.
Mark Wahlberg would have, like, was right.
I know. He's straight as a die. But then the lesbians were all having like makeup lessons. And he said it was just ridiculous. So there'd be these girls with all this plastered in makeup, obviously feeling really uncomfortable, standing like by the water thing, you know. Outside the building where they were all kind of like practicing flirting with boys. I mean, just sounds hilarious but awful, but also just like how on such a basic level is that? So makeup on a lesbian or making a boy not wear Calvin Klein's, that's going to keep, I mean, it's literally at that level of, and of course there's shame, shame, shame. God, God, God. Do you know what I've been watching this week? Gayness. Is Mrs. America. You know that thing with Kate Blanchett and a whole slew of amazing people.
What is the, what's it actually about? Because I've seen loads of posters and stuff, but don't know what it's about.
So it's about this woman called, are you trying to get into a closet or something? What's going on over
no,
there?
I'm just walking up
a close-up of your chest right now.
This is me walking up the stairs.
Oh, I wish people could see this. So Mrs. America is about this woman called Phyllis Schlafly, who was a sort of a, In the 70s, was a mother of many and six kids or something. And also she was like a defense kind of expert. She knew all about the laws of defense and blah, blah, blah. But then all of a sudden, she became involved in the anti-ERA, which was the equality, you know, women's equality amendment, equal rights amendment that was going to be put into the books. And, you know, that was what Gloria Steinem and Shirley Chisholm and all these people were, the women who were all, you know, the leaders of that. And some others, of course. But she sort of took it upon herself to be the anti that and sort of said things like she was never prejudiced against. Women don't want to be equal. That will mean things like, you know, our children will be, men will have to look after our babies and our children will be sent, right. Our girl children will be sent off to Vietnam. And it was absolutely crazy. And sort of at the start of that sort of Reagan, they engage the evangelicals to help. You know, all that thing that's basically got us to where we are now in America. It's really fascinating. And Kate Blanchett, of course, just knocks it out of the fucking planet as this crazy lady who's just very respectable, but obviously just everything's burning underneath. But anyway, and there's lots of Margot Martindale, who I just adore, and who is the person who told me to get the ice machine that I have upstairs, but that's not the story. And Sarah Paulson, all these amazing people. So anyway, the thing is, she has a gay son in it, she discovers. And there's a speech she does where she says, like, she says to her son very cryptically, you know, I used to smoke. And on our wedding, your father gave me a car as a present. I didn't have a present for him. So I gave, my present to him was I would stop smoking. And it was really difficult. And I have to work at it every single day, but I don't smoke anymore. And wow. This is like a kind of a really amazing veiled way of the mother saying you've got to stop being gay to her son.
Wow.
And what was a shame actually about that storyline, like in the whole kind of thing of the show, it kind of peters out. I mean, you kind of want this, you're yearning for this showdown between Phyllis Schlafly and Gloria Steinem, who's amazingly played by Rose Byrne. And it never comes, actually. And what is great is that Gloria Steinem, interestingly, of course, now we know who Gloria Steinem is, probably none of us knew very much about Phyllis Schlafly until this show, says, I don't want to do that. I don't want to give her the credence or the publicity. And, you know, she's absolutely right. But so in a way, the show kind of suffers for that. It kind of, then it becomes about Sarah Paulson, and which is great. Mm. But the one thing is that gay thing about with our son, you never really quite know what happens. And I would love to have known about that. If anyone knows what happened to Phyllis Schlafly's gay son, even if it's Phyllis Schlafly's gay son, please drop us a line to, hello at homosapienspodcast.com.
It's alancumming@shop.com, I think is the...
While you're there.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, it's almost like a kind of an opposite piece to that beautiful speech in Call Me By Your Name where the dad says, be who you are kind of thing. It's
yes.
Almost like the two ends of the spectrum. I want to do a shout. We want to do a shout out now. Sam Phillips. It's his birthday on
the Princess Anne's son.
No. Although I saw a picture of Princess Anne when she was very young. She's very beautiful.
She was a looker.
Sam Phillips. We said we'd give a shout out for his birthday on August the 1st. So here is your happy birthday, Sam. Here
happy
is your
birthday,
shout-out.
Sam Phillips. Hope you have a lovely day.
29 years. He says he's waited 29 years for a shout out. So 29 years or 30 years. Maybe you're 30. It's all the same, Sam.
Well, you know, just if you're 29, start planning your 30th birthday now. That's my advice to you, Sam.
Yes, that's very good advice.
Yeah.
What did you do for your 30th?
I had, I think it's so long ago, I had a party. Oh, I remember. I had a party at the Groucho Club in London's West End.
Oh, very
sweet. And it was like a dinner and then we did all the tables and we did danced our tits off. Yeah, I had a kind of swanky media party. And then for my 40th, I was in Sundance at the film festival and it was crazy. And I remember I was just so... I felt like I was just being, you know, I was so, I did all this. They sang Happy Birthday to me at the premiere of my film. I was there, but I was so embarrassed. Then I had to do press at the party. And eventually they said, okay, that's your last interview. Now go and enjoy yourself at the party. I walked away from the table and all the lights went out. And then this cake appeared. It was in the shape of a marijuana leaf because the film was Reefer Madness. And there was Neve Campbell and Kristen Bell pushing this massive marijuana leaf cake on a trolley towards me. And there was like a phalanx of photographers. I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake. And then there was like they were like kissing me on either side and said, we didn't want to do this. They made us.
Wow.
Yeah. And I cried the night before my last day of my 39th year. And then for my 50th, I had a massive party Grant and I did a joint one. We took over Typhoon Lagoon, the water park at Disney World in Florida.
And God. It was just amazing.
We had the whole park to ourselves. We had bars and things and everyone, you know, was just running around screaming in their swimming trunks. And we had you could control the waves. You can actually say how high and how frequent you want the waves to come onto the beach.
No.
I was crazed with power. What did you do on your, 30th?
30th, I was contrary.
Your 20th had been me. You were what?
30th, I was contrary. And I think I just went to the pub and then regretted it and wished I'd organised a party.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Chris.
20th. Fuck knows, but I have no 20th. I have no idea what I was doing, no recollection whatsoever.
Well, 20 is not such as 21 is the big one,
it's not really a big one. And 40, I don't know what I'm going to do for 40 in 2 years' time.
You better get cracking, it's really important.
I'll start planning,
and also, or just start thinking, because it's crazy when people go, oh, it's my 40th birthday in 3 weeks. I was thinking about, you know, asking everyone to fly to Iceland. You think, too fucking late. You've got to think
and
these things.
Like, have you penciled the national theme park yet? Because if not, it's yes. going to bomb.
You've got to talk to the Disney people.
Yeah.
Booze has to be, there's a thing about booze. Like, I was doing a thing with Campari at the time where they were going to send in, you know, free booze for my party. But it had to be quarantined for 2 weeks in Florida. I mean, it was just insane. And also just trying to get alcohol into a Disney park was a lot.
Yeah, especially the volumes.
And anyway, it was great. It was such a great party.
Oh, good. Well, on that high, Alan, should we give away a t-shirt?
Let's. So it's reviews.
Review
Apple.
Of the week. This is review of the week. It's been a bumper week. And I've got no bad news for you. I searched high and low. Oh. Everyone's been nice.
Oh, I can breathe again.
Yeah. So 5 stars is from, I think, Adam Fortune. It says, oh no, what a show. My life has seen some changes this year. I moved to take a job as a teacher in a new school and as a result have gone from being in a supportive and comfortable place to a strange mix of living in the sticks and working in a community that is still a little wary of us LGBTQ types, to say the least. As much as I really do feel like the only gay in the village at the moment, tuning into you guys each week while I take my daily walks reminds me that there are others out there. There certainly are. The podcast is honest, gritty, funny, touching, and most of all, reassuring as you guys narrate experiences that we're all having. And I get to sit back and I think, phew, it's not just me then. It's not just me making Kylie's key lime pie, they think. Now, not that I like to complain, but... Oh, I hadn't read this far.
Rehydrating compost.
Yeah. Now, not that I like to complain, but I'm not sure either of you will win the contest for most t-shirt sales as I sped over to EverPress to secure one for myself, only to find they weren't on sale anymore. Insert sad face here.
That because they only do it for a month or something.
Yeah, but it's supposed to reboot. Hang on a sec.
See, that's not good.
Please get them back up and running. How am I supposed to draw attention from the lockdown pounds that I have appeared? Draw attention from the lockdown pounds that have appeared if I'm not sporting the finest fashions. Love you guys.
See?
Guys, I can only apologise. Listen, we'll get it sorted right away. I'll have it turned back on.
Do you know, it's so funny. I was thinking this person, remember we had a person who was a teacher too, living in a
yes. Yeah.
Kind of remote place.
Oh, he was going to write in and tell us what he decided to do.
Yeah.
Please
write. He's going to want to live somewhere maybe. Oh, wouldn't that be funny if they're in the same place and they met and fell in love and moved to Denmark?
I love that. Yes. So I'll have the t-shirts put back on. Mr. EverPress assured me that he would just automatically turn it back on. So sorry about that.
I've never been sure of EverPress.
No, I feel like Alan's never... Always been on the fence with his opinion on that. KTM has given us 5 stars as well. Insightful, inspirational, and hilarious. Love. I'm loving the series, boys. Alan has been a really lovely addition. I admit I was sad to hear Will wouldn't be on. However, Alan is doing such a wonderful job. My new favourite is Anecdote Roulette. There you go,
Yay.
Alan. It's a bit like the degree of separation theory. I'm sure Alan has a story about everyone. He really does. I'm not LGBTQ+, but don't feel like that means I can't listen. Of course you can. This is for everybody. It's informative and welcoming, and that is endearing. Please keep it up, chaps.
Okay.
And then, will do. 5 stars, YMAOHYD. Don't know what that is. Amazing, informing, inclusive, and generally life-affirming. I discovered this podcast a few weeks ago following your Table Manners appearance. I have since caught up with all the available episodes.
Gosh.
I no longer feel as if I'm odd or on my own in some of the ways I feel, and I've also become aware and learned about other people's issues, aspects of their lives, ways of living, some of which, to be honest, had never occurred to me before because I hadn't seen them. Thanks for what you're doing.
Well, that's great. That's really great to hear. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
It really is.
Making, just like you, just being open to people and, yeah, spreading the message.
Taking the time to spot some difference, share some difference, mm-hmm. learn about experiences beyond our own.
Yes, maybe open your eyes. I mean. Open your eyes, man. Open your eyes.
Open your eyes. Now, I'm going to pick the winner this week, and I am going to pick, I think it's Adam Fortune is the name, who told us about, alerted us to the problem we're having with our EverPress shopping system. But thank you for that, Adam. Write in. I will post you a t-shirt. I'll even put a postcard in there. What more could we ask for? I just wanted to bring our listeners' attention to some lovely people called Untangling the Knot on Instagram, who are at Untangling the Knot, which is a project that interviews students specialising in people of colour about what it's like to go to UK universities. It says, we explore what it is like to feel British but never look it.
Quite that's really interesting.
Project. Which they sent to us.
I was actually hearing. Yeah. Yes, and I was. It was funny last night on the radio. I was listening to that woman who made the thing "I May Destroy You." Do you know that?
Oh, Michaela Cole. Yes.
Yeah, she was really fascinating.
I'd love to have her on. Actually,
yeah, she'd be great, and also very much talking about this that same thing about being British but apparently not looking at.
Have you seen her speech she did at Edinburgh TV Festival?
No, but they were talking about that on the interview.
Have a look at it. Everyone Google it. It's just very methodically calling out what she experienced and, you know, she just does it really calmly and funnily and, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, she was great. I thought she was amazing. Let's get her on.
Let's do Wormhole of the Week. Alan, how has your internet odyssey been going this week? I see you putting on your glasses. You've got quite the story, I feel.
Well, I decided to write it down because I was worried I was going to forget. So I started off writing, I mean, I'm writing right now, and I started off having this chat with an old friend from when I used to work at DC Thompson's, when I made up the horoscopes for the Dundee Courier, Dundee Telegraph. And we were chatting about various things. And then something led me to look up afterwards this thing. And because it had because I was involved in it on the internet, it had other things of me. It said, Alan Cumming's dog is devastated by gin shortage, right? I was like, what is going on? So I clicked on that. And it was because once I was on the Isle of Harris with Lala, and there was the Isle of Harris has got this really great gin with a beautiful bottle, actually. It's delicious. And they make the gin with kelp. I'm not a gin fan, but it was actually quite nice. And it's kelp from the seaweed they put in it.
Oh, nice.
And it was like a new distillery that was making whiskey. But, you know, whiskey takes like 5 years or whatever. And so in the meantime, they're knocking out some gin. But it was so popular, the gin, that they had to, and they ran out of bottles. So they were rationing. When I was there, they were rationing that you could only buy one bottle of gin a day. And Lala was sitting in front of the sign that said that, and she's looking kind of dejected. And so I put this up on my Instagram years ago.
Oh,
and I'd
right.
forgotten all about it. And then the newspapers in Scotland sort of, it must have been a slow news day, and they covered it and said that my dog was devastated by the lack of gin. Anyway, then from there, and I can't remember why, I went to Jocelyn Wildenstein. You know that lady?
Oh, yes, they called her the Catwoman.
She was called the Catwoman. She was like this, you know, very rich lady, married to this kind of art world man who made tons of money. And she was from Luxembourg or somewhere. I actually met her ages ago. She kind of had a spell when she became famous. She would sort of like hang out at clubs downtown. I had this really nice chat. We spoke in French actually one night. Anyway, she had all this plastic surgery. She looks like a lion or something. And I didn't know this, but she recently got divorced, mm-hmm. and she and her the much younger husband had this massive domestic fight, and she was bashing him and everything, so much so that he actually shoved her in a cupboard and locked the door until the police came, because she was like a wild animal apparently.
Wow.
In this thing, and so there was this history of sort of violence between them. This cat lady went a bit feral, you could say. Anyway, that was and I think she's fine now, though. Everything's, you know, she's still going, but they had, I looked up some pictures of her and stuff like that. She was absolutely charming. I really liked her, and I'm always really, when someone has made such radical changes to their face, I think, let's talk about this. Why have you, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think partly her thing was that she was getting older, and she was in a, you know,
and
but
also that
went out of control.
Yeah, and there was also like that period when she first came to prominence. There was a big pile-on of people who had plastic surgery, and it's so unkind, because actually, like, I think that, yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody has it. Everybody does it nowadays. But I mean, my thing about it is that, you know, what I think is weird is when people don't talk about it. And she obviously did. She couldn't not, but I think it's weird when people don't mention. I've had friends and I see them after a while and I think, oh, your face is different, but they don't say. And I just think that's so weird that, you know, we can't share. We're not being as open and intimate with each other. And the other thing is, I think the biggest thing about plastic surgery is that we need to actually, there doesn't seem to be, you know, a sort of a Phyllis Schlafly, if you like, on the other side of plastic surgery, which says, let's try and not just equate beauty with youth, and let's try and re-educate people to think getting older and seeing the lines and the experience and the life on someone's face is a beautiful thing, and is a thing that we have stopped valuing. We've made that a negative, and we try to erase all that experience, because that's what, you know, that's what I love about faces, that you can see the life in them. And I think it's just a thing of rejigging, rebooting what you think is attractive.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you've had great work.
Thank you. I mean, I've not had any work ever.
I know you haven't.
No, obviously. I know, but as in, for those listening who might be astounded as to how I look like this.
I haven't done any work either. And I'm not going to. No.
I'm not going to either. As we know, we talked about last week, my hair. I'm going to have my hair done. Well, I would have my hair done.
I get zapped. I get my dermatologist zaps me with like a little, for skin spots and things, you know, like zzz, little
Oh, okay.
But that's just like kind of removing.
Maybe she puts me under for 6 hours, and maybe we rebuild the whole thing. I don't know.
He once said, "Would I like to get this thing?" I said, "What is it?" He went, "It's a sort of like a face peel, but it's like a really intense face peel. And it really kind of rejuvenates your skin." I said, "I don't think I'd like that. What? How long would it take?" And he said, "Well, it'd only take an hour or so, but you know, you'd have to like stay inside for a week afterwards." I was like, "I don't think so." He said it'd be like really severe sunburn for a week. That's what he said.
Oh my God.
I don't want to do it.
No.
Just zap off the sunspots. Thank you.
So my wormhole of the week was, it started with Halle Berry.
Oh.
Because she said she was going to play a trans man in a film.
Yeah.
And
she misgendered them, didn't she?
Did she misgender as well? Well, she pulled out of the film after
She pulled out because she did an interview where she misgendered and just got the pronouns wrong and just was kind of like a little careless about it all. And I think the people sort of said to her, if you're going to do that, you have a responsibility.
Yes. But she was kind of, I liked her humor. She was like, look, I made a mistake, which is
I love Halle. I've done a film with her. Love her.
Yeah. Which then, I must have read that on Pink News, because then I think they posted about a singer called Alexander with a K who had a new single. And I was listening to that, and then I liked that. And that took me through to Stromae, Stromae. Stromae did a video where they are half woman, half man, and they turn. So like they turn right and they're woman, they turn left and they're man.
Oh, yes.
And the choreography, it's like amazing choreography. Let me just try and find the name of the video.
It's like I've seen Dolly Parton, someone do Dolly Parton and what's his name? Do Islands in the Stream like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And the videos is Tous les Mêmes. And it's just got the most...
All the same.
Yeah. If somebody had better knowledge of choreography than I, they would be able to tell me who the reference is. But it's this amazing choreography that was almost like part beautiful dance, part like the Munsters, where they like shove their arms in the air and do these weird walks and stuff. You'd love it.
That sounds great.
It's so cool. It's almost like bit Bob Fosse. Anyway, so that was that. And then that took me to, for some reason, to Tandy Newton and that interview she did about where she's spoken out and all that stuff. Have you seen that? Talking about her experiences of working in Hollywood and being...
Oh, when did she do that?
Last week, talking about like conversations with Amy Pascal, who was that big producer who said strange things to her about... She was being a black woman, playing a certain kind of person in a movie, saying Amy Pascal saying it wasn't believable and, you know, how much shit she had to put up with.
She wasn't black enough. I think I did read a headline about that. I must look at that. That's great. Oh, bravo to Tandy for speaking out. She's a great girl. I love her.
She's just done a whole like I'm not going to be silent anymore type thing.
Good.
Which is great. Really good, because you know, thank God the world is changing small bits.
Yes.
Alan, anecdote roulette. This is going to be a speedy one because we're running out of time. I'm going to find the pictures. David Bowie.
Oh, yes. Well, this is so great. So David Bowie, I met a few times and he was so... I knew a man. I know a man and I used to sort of see her out and about quite a lot. And actually in one of my books, I can see is under the pile of, part of the pile of books is holding up my computer that you're looking at me on to give a better angle. In my book, you got to get bigger dreams. I tell a story about when a man asked me to be her date to this party in LA and I lost her handbag. I let Janice Dickinson hold a man's handbag while I went to the loo and then she fucking lost it. Anyway.
Wow, this is like inception of anecdote roulette.
Yes. And so anyway, I met David and we got on very well. And there's another story actually when I saw them in a room and this man, I knocked over the stick of this old man and he fell to the floor. Oh, just, anyway, there's a lot going on. Anyway, my thing I'm going to tell you about David is that, so, you know, we would email and things. I would get emails from David Bowie. I was just like, oh my God.
Wow.
And he's just, and he would always have, always be of such fun when I'd see him, and had such a laugh. And then they asked me to be in his, I couldn't do the workshop and properly be in the show, that show that was based on his songs. But then I ended up shooting a little video part for it. And then I went to the opening night of it, and that was the last night time I saw him. I saw him from the stage and we waved, and then he wrote me an email on the next day, and then, you know, a few weeks later he was dead. Anyway, my thing is, when I was doing Macbeth on Broadway, all these people were, when you do it on Broadway, all these sort of famous people come, and they usually all come backstage, and it's kind of such fun, but it's also sort of a ritual thing that, you know, it's just sort of who the celebrity people that you'll be kind of having a
surreal,
a little, you know, a little kiss and a wee drink with. After, so anyway, one night I went out to sign autographs after the thing. And actually on Macbeth, I didn't really do much partying because I was so worried about my body and my voice and everything like that. But I went out to sign autographs, and some of the people waiting were saying, oh, did you see that David Bowie, and do you say, I used to say Bowie and now I say Bowie.
Yeah, I say Bowie now.
I'm going to say Bowie. And Iman were here tonight and my heart sank. I thought, oh my God, they came to see it and they hated it. They would have come back. They're my friends. You know, I would think of them as friends. They didn't come back. I was like, oh God, David Bowie didn't like it. And Iman didn't like it. So anyway, I was a bit shattered. And the next day I woke up and there are emails from both Iman and David Bowie. And they said, David wrote me this incredible, actually I found it, I printed it out and I found it the other day, I can't remember what it is. But just saying the most incredible things about how much he'd enjoyed the show and what it made him think of and da la la la. And they said, sorry, we didn't come back, but it was our wedding anniversary. And this was our wedding anniversary treat. And we had to get to dinner afterwards. And we were going to miss our reservation. Aww. I was like, isn't that great? And also what a pair of kooks that we would come to see on their wedding anniversary, to see Macbeth, the story of like the most crazy marriage going bonkers. And one of them commits suicide and the other could die. I just thought that was so hilarious. That would be their wedding anniversary treat, is coming to see me in this mental production of Macbeth. So that's my David Bowie story.
Very
and actually our fire pit, just a little addendum, our fire pit outside is called the Iman fire pit because she was here when they were digging the little hole and putting the stones in a circle for our fire pit. And she said I should put it in a certain place, which was different to the way I wanted to put it. And she's absolutely right. So it's now called the Iman fire pit.
Wow. Look at that. Two anecdote roulettes for your...
Two for the price of one, for your money, gentlemen.
Well done. Now, well, that leaves us just to say goodbye, Alan. Thank you so much.
Guess who our guest is next week? I mean, this comes out on Thursday, but the following Thursday, guess who it is?
It's such an exciting one. It's Patti Smith.
It's Patti Smith. Patti Smith.
Oh my God, what a lovely chat.
Legend. Absolutely lovely. Hilarious, witty, kind, soulful, and just a darling.
Yeah.
And it's Patti Smith next week, but this has been lovely. It's
hasn't
always nice
it
to see you, Chris.
Yeah, always
and
nice
I just
to
had
see
to say, we didn't win the British Podcast Awards, but it's just an honour to be nominated.
Yeah, I'm trying to feel like that, but I don't. No, and we're really pleased for everyone who did win. Congratulations.
Yes. And also, I've found that when I've lost awards before, it doesn't really matter. Everyone thinks you've won anyway, because if it says Emmy nominee or, you know, Golden Globe, blah, blah, people just think the name Golden Globe is next year. So British Podcast Awards is next, near our names.
We've won two before.
Did we? I think we won two.
Yeah, and we've won other awards. So, you know, quite honestly, it was time for someone else
awards,
to have a go.
Awards aren't important.
No, but why does
it's
it hurt?
It's the connection with the public. All right, kids, I gotta go.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Powered by Spirit Studios.